When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Connect on Post Show recaps. That's right. We're back again for the Color Purple movie review, the full movie review. We started, as you know, with The Color Purple, the original motion picture. And now we're going to talk about the film that is taking the nation by storm, question mark, or at least on the topic of a lot of conversations right now, The Color Purple 2023. And so I'm Chappelle, and with me, as usual, my sister, my very own Nettie, Mari. Welcome back.
I'm glad to be here. I guess I'm glad to be the Nettie, since I don't have to do much in the show, but open with a bang and come back. But yeah, this was really interesting. I am so very glad that we decided to revisit the original Color Purple first and then go see the musical, because I have some things to say. I definitely think that I will in the future treat these as two standalone properties, but today we're gonna compare and contrast, because that's what we're here for.
Yeah, I think that was a good idea. I do. I know we kind of were like batting things around. Like, do we need to refresh people on the old one? Do we need to refresh Mari on the old one?
Whatever.
But I think this was a good idea too. Also with me, sister, you've been on my mind, is LaTanya. LaTanya, what's up? Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be back. I cannot believe how different these two properties are from each other. And I am excited to discuss it.
Yeah, very different. And I think that's been one of the things driving a lot of the water cooler talk around The Color Purple, is just that maybe some people felt like it was too far removed from the original. Maybe it was too far removed from the book. But you all, this is an adaptation on the Broadway musical. And so it's not supposed to look exactly like the three of us talked about last week when we talked about the original movie, but it's supposed to be a play on that with, of course, some Broadway flair and a lot of music and choreography. So very different product, but still the same subject matter. It's just packaged a little differently. We Of course, thank you all for being with us on The Connect on Post Show Recaps. Please continue to leave your reviews, 5-star reviews, wherever you can, wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe to The Connect on Post Show Recaps. And then, of course, join us on YouTube where we have these discussions on video so that you can leave comments and let us know what you think about the podcast and, you know, give us things to talk about as well. So our assignment was to talk about the first Color Purple, then go watch the new Color Purple and come back with notes. And I think as a group, we probably have those. Before we get into any specifics, Mari, what did you think about the film as a whole?
Yeah, but before we even do that, I do want to get into, we did have two ratings that were left in between our coverage here and our coverage for Rap Shit. So let me just bring those up real quick. Back in December, I'm here! Exclamation point. By Samaya 89. I hope I pronounced that right. They said, "I'm here, y'all, and listening. I enjoy the conversations and point of view y'all have on the shows. Keep up the good work." I think that was in response to us asking for, like, you know, more interaction, so we know that, you know, we know that you're listening. I think this one is also new. I'm pretty sure we did not say this one. It says, "Great discussion." And of course, you know, Apple never shows you the rest of the title. But SVF1958 says, "I like the hosts and how prepared they are for each episode. They've thought about events and discussed opinions. They're enjoyable to listen to. Keep it up." So, shout out. And that's not even like all of the comments, like Chappelle said last week, that we had on the YouTube. Thank you so much for engaging. We love seeing all of your feedback. So back to this, what I thought about the musical overall. So overall, as a musical, I personally love musicals. I am I love musical. I love singing. I love artistic expression. So when it's like, "Oh, it's a Color Purple musical," and some people are like, "Oh, it's a musical," I'm like, "Yay, it's a musical." But I will say, I was sitting in the theater like, I wonder how far away we are from the main point of view of the book. You know what I'm saying? Like, because like we said, like, there's a book that was adapted into a movie that was then adapted into a Broadway musical that is now adapted into a movie based on the Broadway musical. I did kind of feel at one point, I was like, I feel like, did we water down the themes, the original themes of the book and Alice Walker's original work? You know, it was just something for thought, food for thought. But overall, I really liked the musical numbers. I didn't think it was too oppressive. There were some things I was like, okay, some of the famous monologues, we kind of like cut them off to start singing. Some of the original movies, musical components were missing or reworked. So as a standalone product, I was very entertained and I thought it was entertaining, and I will go back and watch it so I can like watch it for more entertainment as opposed to like trying to jot down notes for this podcast. But when you take them together, it makes me also think, like, I'm glad that the original still exists. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how when people are like, "Oh, why are you remaking our stuff? Why don't, you don't gotta remake it?" It's like, chill, y'all. The original still exists. Like, the original still exists. And whenever I want to watch the original, I can watch the original. And the remake exists now too. So now it's two different properties that we can go back to and enjoy whenever we want to. It's not like the other one takes out the other one. So I'm very glad that they brought this to the theaters, to say the least.
Yeah. LaTanya, did this work for you? This overall as a motion picture musical, I guess is what we're calling it.
I'm a musical theater kid. I grew up doing musical theater and I love it. I love the old standards. I love everything old Hollywood about musicals. And so I was really excited when I found out that this was being made into a musical. The casting, I think they did a really good job with. And I think that the spectacle of the staging of the scenes, like the musical scenes, was gorgeous. Like,
very that.
In front of those waterfalls, like those water features, the number that Harpo does is like one of my favorite numbers, yeah. And I like it way more when Corey Hawkins does it. Mm-hmm. It for me, I felt though that I was waiting for the song, which is "I'm Here." Mm-hmm. And I first saw that sung by Cynthia Erivo at the Tony Awards like 7-8 years ago. And I was just floored. Like I'd not seen the musical before. So I had no, like the Tonys was my first time knowing about it. But to hear Fantasia sing that song is like an out of body experience. It's just insane. Like insane is not a word we use anymore. It's wild how fantastic she was. That being said, I feel like in the runtime of this movie, despite the runtime of this movie being what it is, the character of Celie kind of gets lost a lot in it. And that's one of the major concerns that I have about the movie. But overall, I enjoyed the experience because if you put me in a musical, I'm going to be happy. Unless it's La La Land.
And this might be a shock to some people, but I'm not a big musical guy. So this was me kind of sitting in a very uncomfortable space for a very long time. And so I do have thoughts as well. But I do appreciate y'all's feedback. And after this brief ad break, we're going to get into some of the things we liked, some of the things we might not have liked as much, and really talk about this film as a whole right after this.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay. So this was a musical about the Broadway play. And I'm assuming the Broadway play has just been like kind of like removed itself from the original source material a little bit, because I feel like by sprinkling the Broadway on top of this, you give this a lot more hope and a lot more faith and a lot more, you know,
yes,
everything happens for a reason. It's a lot. The disposition is a little bit sunnier here than it was in the original one, because the original one, we just talked about it. It feels like despair throughout. Mm-hmm. It feels like this woman can't catch a break. If she's questioning if God has forgotten about her, and if you're watching it at home, you might have believed it. Like, yeah, probably. Yeah. I think you might have missed the boat on this one. But in this movie, I think they do a really good job of pushing the theme of, no, God works in mysterious ways. Your time is coming. These things are happening, but God hasn't forgotten about you. These are signs from God that you should keep pushing. One of the notable standouts for me was when Celie in this movie, she sees the baby Olivia, you know, in the shop, and her first thought is, God is sending me a sign that my babies are alive and that I should keep faith alive. But in the other movie, it really felt like, no, they're dangling a carrot in front of you and snatching it away from you. And this woman, you're not going to see your child. That might not have even been your child. You might have made that story up in your head, you know, that that's your child. And I felt like throughout the movie, they really picked and chose their places where they would do that, where they would lean into some of the darker portions of the first film and say, okay, let's brighten it up by putting some jazz hands on it in a little song. So Mari, did you feel the same way? I saw you nodding along while I was talking.
Absolutely. It's one of the first things that hit you in the beginning of the musical. As we talked about last week, how the first thing that hits you 10 minutes into the movie is how despairing the world is with Celie being pregnant at such a young age, at 14, and then basically being trafficked off to a man that she doesn't know. I literally said the exact same thing, Shabba. I was like, wow. Like, in the original, you get the sense that Celie is losing faith, but this is like, no, keep your faith. God works in mysterious, singing God works in mysterious ways to a pregnant 14-year-old did not
sit
right with me. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm a very spiritual person and all that. Organized religion chaps my ass a little bit, but like,
a lot of it.
And so I was just like, I don't know if I like this messaging. And then, like you said, the first song with Celie seeing her baby, I was like, wait, first, why are we at a prison yard? Like, why are we at a hardcore manual prison yard with these guys that were doing some great choreo, by the way, and great backup vocals? But I was like, why is Celie singing through this yard of men in prison about the hope that she sees her kids? And I'm like, it's the dichotomy of like the despair that's being shown with, like you said, the singing, the happy singing. And it really didn't sit right for me with a lot of the runtime of the movie. But again, I had to tell myself, like, this is a different genre for a different audience. But they swept so much of the dark stuff under the rug that's why I'm like, well, what is kind of the point here? You know what I'm saying? Even though it's kind of funny, because last week I was like, this is too much. You know, this is too much despair for Black women and Black people. And now I'm like, this isn't enough. You know, but it was like, the brief mention, like, Paul, like, I can do whatever I want to with my babies. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the brief nod to, you know, incestual pedophilia, you know, not too much. It felt like they brushed a lot of that darkness under the rug. And it was just like, I don't know, man. I was like, it's like you have to have previous knowledge of the film and the source material in order to know what's really happening. Because I can't imagine like a young 18-year-old who's never watched Color Purple going into this and just being like, oh, this is kind of all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything is okay because we're gonna sing our way through it. It is a little disheartening at times. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, LaTanya, we just watched these back to back, but had we not, would we still be having the same complaint about maybe not getting those dark moments and them not hitting as hard?
That's a really good question. I think that maybe yes, just because we talked about this when we talked about the 1985 Color Purple, but Danny Glover's performance was just a standout in all the worst ways. Mm-hmm. It's an unforgettable performance. No matter how much time goes by, you don't forget Mister. Whereas I think that Coleman Domingo, I first of all, I love him. Mm-hmm. I support him in everything that he does. I think he's one of like our greatest actors working right now. I think that he was good in this role. I just think that along with what Mari said, they held back a lot of the terrible things that made him that character in the first place. Uh-huh. And then redeemed him so much at the end, where he was like sitting at the table with everybody, like he was part of the family still. Mm-hmm. So
yikes,
that part I was just like, what are we doing? Like, what are we saying? I understand it's a musical and that, you know, people are just going to burst into songs when they have feelings, so mm-hmm. we have to suspend our disbelief in a way, but not that much. Like, not so much that it gets away from the entirety of the source material.
Yeah,
because exactly. It is a musical based on a movie, based on a book. Like,
right.
I know it's far removed, but come on. Like, it's just wild to me, some of the stuff that was not in this movie.
Right. Does it make the story more palatable, though, LaTanya? I mean, we talked about how dark it was, but like, if you have to recommend The Color Purple, the story, to somebody, do you say, go watch the 1985, or do you say, go watch the 2023 musical?
Oh, I would say watch the 1985.
Mm-hmm. You feel like that's a better representation of what's going on?
I do, but I also think that part of it is because I, and this is probably just my own experience, I have no luck ever in getting anyone to go and see a musical with me.
The musical is just a harder sell. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. You wouldn't have probably seen the musical if we weren't forced to talk. Exactly.
Absolutely.
One of my best friends hates musicals. So it's like, I don't get it. Like, cause my brain doesn't compute that, but there are people who just don't like musicals. I just understand that there's people that don't.
Mm-hmm. But the story is not, for me, the story does not hit the same. It just doesn't. I think that if I'm recommending this to somebody, I'm like, go watch the 1985 one, even though it's dark and scary and twisty and mm-hmm. sad. I was like, it tells you, I think, a more, what I think, accurate depiction of, you know, what Alice Walker was trying to get at, you know? Mm-hmm. And it has its comedic moments, and it has its light moments as well, but it definitely doesn't detract from the fact that this woman is in hell, you know, essentially. And throughout this, you know, reworked version, the musical version here, you kind of lose some of that, which, I mean, I guess, you know, your taste may vary on that, your levels of your threshold, I guess, for pain and despair. But for me, I think the gravity of the first one is just a lot more than this one. But you go, you know, personal preferences, I guess, are, you know, whatever they are. As far as I go, I liked a lot of the songs and stuff, but yeah, they did take me out of the moments. And I think that, you know, again, this is a 14-year-old child, you know, and so to be packaging this and like, oh, but look at her keeping her head up, you know, look at her
exactly.
strong.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You go, girl. It's like, ah, this is a 14-year-old. Like, somebody needs to be stepping in or just really focusing on how awful this truly is. We lose a lot of the abuse that Celie goes through throughout this film as well. LaTanya, even in the original, when Celie meets Harpo and his kids, mm-hmm. the kids immediately hit her in the face with a rock. Like, she's bleeding within 3 seconds of meeting them. And then she's in an abusive relationship where she's essentially being raped for the rest of her life. But this didn't feel like that, LaTanya.
No, it didn't. And I thought it was an interesting choice for the one, like, kind of the implied rape scene to focus on Suge Avery's photograph it's a choice. Mark?
Yes.
I came in with a hard-hitting question, y'all.
It was a choice, and it might be the only choice about the new musical that I actually do like. They up the queerness on this in this musical way more, so that the mouth breathers out there who didn't get it the first time definitely got it this time. And I think the portrayal of Celie looking at Suge's picture while, you know, the deed is happening, it opens up the lane to, like, clearly Celie was having some emotional attachment to Suge before she even met her, and we see that later on when she's like looking at her picture and singing to her picture. So by the time that they actually meet and we get the bathtub song, it's like not even implied anymore, but it's very out in the open that Celie clearly has feelings for Suge. And so that when they do consummate their relationship, again, way more blatant with the whole musical number, them kissing and them waking up in the bed together, like they've upped the queerness factor. And I love that. That's the one thing that I was like, okay, the original really kind of just skated by on. And again, if you weren't paying attention to the original, you might think this is a new development in the musical, but it's not. It's always been there. It's always been there, and it's even more prominent in the book, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So, at least at the very least, my thought was they're turning down her abuse, but they are turning up the joy that she gets from being with Suge and being around Suge. So at least it's not manufactured joy and acceptance. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not her kind of being delusional about her situation in a sense. It's just focusing more on the things that are keeping her going. You know, now that she doesn't have Nettie, what's keeping her going is Suge at that later point. You know what I'm saying? So, I thought that they reworked the scene with Nettie and Mr. on the horse to be not as scary. You know, Nettie gets kicked out in the first 20 minutes into a 2.5 hour movie. I was like, okay. You know, and even that scene wasn't as terrible as the 1985 one, which is crazy to say the least. I mean, sorry, it's wild to say the least. And so I agree. I think we lose a lot of the abuse that Celie goes through, which means we lose a lot of her character development. And then it's like a reduction of Celie's character while focusing more in redeeming Mister's character. So it just doesn't, some parts just don't sit well. But the one thing I did like, again, was the relationship between Celie and Shug.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk about more of that as well.
Yeah.
When Nettie does come and live with them, we get the song "Life Can Never Break Your Soul." Like those are the lyrics that we're being told, right? And you're just like, man, are you sure? Are you sure? Because it's like life is whooping this woman's ass, you know. Yeah, specifically in the verse, like in the form of this man, the devil. Yeah. Mister, yeah. You know, they really use Nettie as a way to narrate who Mister is for us in a way that the first movie shows us who Mister is, right? When Nettie lays eyes on Mister, she's saying, no, that's the devil. That the devil followed me home. The devil is about to marry you. The devil looks good, but he is not good. He's the devil. We don't get to see a lot of the aspects of him being the devil, but they definitely tell us more.
Yeah, and that implied fact where, like, Celie's like, oh, he looks good. Like, she, like, the small implication that she might actually want this to happen to her annoyed me. Like it truly did annoy me. Like, again, I don't know why. Well, I do know why. So they could redeem him in the end, but just not showing how evil Mister is was ridiculous, especially with Coleman Domingo there, when we did see those flashes of how mean he could be and how abusive he could be. I was like, oh man, I was scared, you know, but they still wound it back because he's got to sit at the table at the end. And sadly, I think that's more realistic in the Black community than, you know, the abuser getting their comeuppance, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the Nettie moment where she is stalked by Mister and then he sexually assaults her and she gets away, leading to one of the most memorable scenes in the first movie, I think is not very memorable in this version. LaTanya, she is approached by him and while she's in bed, they have she kicks him right where he deserves it real quick. And then next thing you know, she's out in the rain. What did you think about this choice? Because that scene in the original movie, I believe, is iconic. I don't know if this hits the same note as it does in the 1985 film.
Yeah, for me, there's just not the same level of desperation that there was in the 1985 movie. Like, we get the requisite line, nothing but hell could keep me, or death can keep me from it, in terms of, like, her writing to her sister. But it's only said once, and it's very quick, and then we're just done with that character for the next hour and a half. I feel like we don't get the impact of what it really meant for Celie to lose her sister because of the way that it was done in this movie in particular. Whereas in the 1985 one, you really feel that like gut punch of the only person that Celie has ever had has been taken away. I guess other than her mother who passed away, is being sent away. And she's never going to hear from her again, essentially, for years. So there's something about, I don't know if it was an acting thing. I don't know if it was scripting, but that is supposed to be a visceral gut punch moment. And I don't feel that as much in this movie.
I think Fantasia at that point entering the movie as our Celie, and that's when we started to get the songs and the questions of like, well, what kind of God are you? You know, what kind of God are you that would leave behind? And so I think in some of the songs, they're really trying to push those, like, if you're feeling the emotionality of the song, then maybe those moments hit you a little bit harder. But again, we just watched what it looked like when they're not singing about it. It's tough. It is really tough. The stomach. This is the first time I think I'm mentioning Fantasia. LaTanya, you brought her up earlier as far as the singing. What do you think about Fantasia as Miss Celie? Because I think young Celie did a great job. And also there were very much moments where I pictured young Celie like, you kind of giving me Fantasia vibes. I feel like they spent a little time working together. Felicia Pearl and Posse.
Mm-hmm. Posse, yeah. They did a really good job casting. A lot of times when they cast like younger versions of people, they have no resemblance whatsoever to those people, or their mannerisms are so different. But it feels like those two actresses really spent time with each other and like talked about the work with each other to get to know each other better and be able to have the performance reflect that. I think that Fantasia did a really good job with what she had to work with. I feel like in a leading like heroine performance though, she should have gotten more. The story felt at times like it was trying to focus on the cast is so big.
Yeah.
And the story is trying to focus on so many people in the cast and all, at the same time trying to hit those key story beats that you have to hit for it to be The Color Purple. And in that, they somehow lost Celie, which and she's the heartbeat of the whole movie.
Yeah, I am going to forego talking about the rest of the cast right now because I'm pretty sure we'll talk about them later because I have so many notes on the act, like the whole cast as a whole. But I agree, Fantasia, I don't think she got as many chances to shine as like Whoopi did in the original by just like kind of like not even stealing the show because it was her show. But I think the times that Fantasia did get were just like hit you over the head with emotion. Like any time that Fantasia started crying, I was like, oh, like her open mouth crying. I was like, oh my God. Like every single time she made me feel it. So I actually really like Fantasia in this role. She thinks of that a snicker too. I was like, where do you get that thick kitty?
You know,
amazing.
Like, girl, Fantasia.
Amazing. And her press tour outfits have been immaculate.
Yeah, yeah, but I just thought she did. I thought she, I really thought she did very well in this, in her role here as Celie. And her voice, I love her voice. I could just listen to her talk about anything. And the rough graveliness of her voice actually lends to the character. It feels like it lends to the hardship that she's went through, even though we don't get to see it as much in this movie. And it's implied. And so I thought Fantasia did a great job. I truly did. I thought she did the best she did could with the material that she had. Mm-hmm. And I agree with LaTanya. I think that it was a little lacking, and that's not her fault. It's, you know, the fault of how the Broadway play was done and how the script for the musical was done.
Yeah, I've been in love with Fantasia since 2004. So I'm sorry, it's just true. Since the first time I heard her sing Summertime, she's had me. Okay. So
yes.
She can do no wrong in my eyes. And to see her in this role, I was very happy. I was torn between grinning because I'm so proud of Fantasia and also being like, oh my God, you know, this awful story still, you know, like it's so hard for, you know, but again, they lighten it up so much with a lot of the musical numbers. And yeah, we will talk about the cast, but one thing I want to talk about before we go to an ad break is y'all noticed they took the white people out of this movie because there are racial tensions in the first The Color Purple. There are moments where Celie is in the neighborhood, the in the store. Shop, and they're like, you got to get out. You know, man, why'd you come in here? And there are no white people aside from the mailman. Right. Mm-hmm. There are no white people aside from the mailman. And of course, that iconic scene where Sophia gets jumped. And for me, I was like, that also took away from the gravity of the moment too, because it felt like a black neighborhood in a black town where black people thrive and black people got each other back. They singing in the street because Suge is coming to town. All the blacks are out, you know?
That's
and,
so true.
And the whole time I was like,
blacks are out.
I was like, something's different. We don't see our first white person until the mailman shows up. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a very interesting choice, LaTanya.
You know, I'm not mad at it. I mean, we can put it in the same category as kind of papering over the more terrible things that happen in the original movie and in the book. But like, I'm fine when I don't see a bunch of racism on my screen, you know?
Right. Yeah, so, that's true.
And, you know, the mailman did what needed to be done. He delivered the letters. Elizabeth Marvel playing, I don't know the name of her character, but the white woman who decides that Sophia is hers.
Oh, Miss Nilly.
Yeah.
Miss Nilly, yeah.
Even like that role was really tamped down. Like,
yeah,
we hardly get any of the venom that justifies her having been in prison for what, six years?
Well, it's 6 years in this
six
movie.
Years in the play, 8 years in the movie, I believe, in the original mm-hmm. movie.
Mm-hmm. And why would you change the amount of time that she's in prison? Like, what does that do?
And I might be wrong, but I could have sworn in the original book she was in there for 11. So,
ooh, yeah. I don't know. But it did find, like, I did find it interesting because that was something that I felt in the moment watching the original movie. I was like, oh yeah, this is very much like a time that is not safe for Black people to just be, you know. Yeah. There are definitely things you have to do as far as like you in your own real life. And then you have the trauma of racism and stuff around you. Especially in this time period, you know, this is 1914, 1922. These are like, this is peak racism. And so, and so it's like, you're dealing with traumas of your own life within the Black community, within your own household, but also there's larger trauma out there as well. And I just didn't get that it didn't feel like that. Now I've heard you, LaTanya. Now I'm kind of leaning toward what you're saying is that, did I even need that though? Like, can we tell this story without having that? Like, probably. Right. I think so. I think the scene with Ms. Nelly does hit home that, you know, this ain't a safe place. But I think that they make that scene is a lot bigger. The racism in that scene is a lot bigger, knowing that it came out of nowhere, essentially, in this movie, as opposed to the original movie where it's like, be careful because something like that could happen. And I think those two things are different for me.
Because it's not as if it's historically inaccurate completely that there'd be a Black town.
Right, exactly.
Especially during that time period, because that's all I was going to say. During that time period was when Black towns were starting to thrive and starting to, get themselves together because it was still segregationist time. It's not until we get to the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s and stuff like that, that like our towns that we had, that y'all had designated, we can get these towns together. And we start grinding, we start hustling, you see, we start prospering. That's when they start bombing them. That's when the race riots start. That's when all the fires start. Exactly. That's, you know, the desecration of Black towns starts around the 1940s. So, I shouldn't say that, but
I'll say Tulsa was in 1921.
29. Yeah, 21. Yeah. So it's like, this is very that. It's very that, you know.
There's the very clear 1917 title card that's flashed at one point. But I mean, like, the thing that kind of doesn't make it make logistical sense is that this is supposed to be like the main street for like everybody, but all the shops are run by Black people, and there's no way in the 1900s that like white people would go to a shop run by Black people. They just wouldn't do that.
Because they gave that shop to Paul, but originally it was just another white person store that she kept getting kicked out of. So I found that very interesting as well. I mean, I don't know. It's hard. It really is hard because you're like, you want the realism of the time period, but then it's also a musical. So they can only do but so much.
Right.
And they can only make you feel but so much. And they don't want you to make you feel too bad. You don't want to be in a sad musical. I don't know. LaTanya, what's a sad musical you can think of? Is
there Les Mis?
Yeah.
As the name suggests.
Phantom of the Opera.
That's just so awful. Like,
it is just, it's weird. I didn't miss it as much as I missed some of the other key parts. I think if we had some of the other key parts that built the tension, then missing the white people wouldn't have been that big of a deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. No, I agree. And let's go ahead and take our last ad break here, and then we'll get into the cast and then any other standout moments that we want to flag up as we wrap up our conversation about The Color Purple 2023.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay. So we've tiptoed around the cast a lot. We touched on the Fantasia of it all. Amazing Tasia, you know, singing that song at the end. I am here. But I think that Fantasia is she sings bigger than all these songs. I think that Fantasia could just demolish all these songs and just do it with her eyes closed. And I think that seeing Fantasia interact with some of the other cast members is really watching her be very measured with her talents and, like, you know, pulling back when necessary and, you know, releasing a lot more when necessary to kind of cover up for, I don't want to say cover up for, but definitely like to compensate for some of like the weaker vocalists in the movie, or also just the not Fantasia vocalists. I won't call anybody weak, but yeah, Fantasia is Fantasia and it's hard. But I thought the blending was good throughout. I enjoyed seeing all these actors sing. For someone who doesn't like musicals, I was really getting a kick out of, you know, seeing David Alan Grier of all people, you know, as a singing pastor.
When I saw him, oh my God.
That opening song, I'm not gonna lie, that opening song was good. It was very gospel. Yeah. I had to put my disgust aside for the whole Mysterious Ways thing, and it took me way too long to realize that was Tamela Mann. I was like,
yes,
that was first Tamela Mann. Thing
I said, this Tamela Mann. I screamed, Cora, girl, what you doing here?
I was like, I know this lady. I was so mad. It wasn't till the credits, dog. It wasn't till the credits. No. And I was like, oh, Tamela.
It should be illegal to have Tamela Mann and Fantasia Barrino Taylor in the same damn place. Like, my grandmother, bless her heart, my grandmother is always like, listen, if I had my wish of people to sing at my funeral, it would be Fantasia and Tamela Mann. Mm-hmm. And like all of their records went like quadruple platinum in our house. So to have them both on the screen at the same time, it just, it's too much. Why just we get more Tamela?
I just want to say shout out to the costume department, because it took me way too many times to realize who people were. Like, I was like, I felt like a dumbass because I was like, that's Dion Cole. Like,
John Baptiste.
Oh, no, you should see how long it took for me to get to her. I said,
okay. Okay. You, girl,
put them glasses back. Oh, I said, her without the shade.
Where is your guitar?
When she opened her mouth for that like second to last song and like near the in the third act, I was like, mother, I was so mad at myself.
My notes, that's it. Now I realize this is her.
Me too. So what the fuck? Why did it take me so long?
If we're gonna talk about the cast, let's not bury the lead. Whoopi Goldberg showed up in this movie.
I legit thought that my there was only like seven or eight of us, and I thought I was about to start clapping or say like, yes, Whoopi, but nobody
should
have. Oh, you know what? Let me just. I was like, do y'all understand what's happening here? This cameo, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if people know.
She's the
midwife. There's so many layers, like,
right. So many standout actors and actresses in this movie, and every time I was like, it's like because I never thought I was gonna go watch this musical. I never looked into the cast, so I was shocked every time somebody came up on screen. Because seeing the Little Mermaid show up here as Nettie, I was like, oh, okay.
You didn't? I thought she was like the main person. Like, well, I think they did a good job on the press run, like pushing like certain people. But I liked the surprise of others.
Were you surprised to see that Halle Bailey grew up to be Sierra?
Dog, let me tell you, I was mad because I didn't know who Grown Nelly was gonna be. Grown Nettie was gonna be, and somebody spoiled it on Twitter for me. Like, the day that it came out, and I was so mad. They're like, Sierra, what you doing here, girl? And I was like, what? Huh? And so I was so mad. I was like, damn, that would have been such a like cool reveal at the end if I hadn't known that, because
everything
it does, she was not mentioned nowhere near nothing. So she was
pregnant
mad.
She was really pregnant during the press tour, so she was just like but yeah, when she showed up I was like,
that was so funny.
Who is not in this movie?
Exactly.
Seriously. Latanya, any other cast moments that you wanted to highlight?
I think we need to talk a little bit about Taraji in her role as Suge Avery.
Yeah, that's right.
I just think that this is like a different side of Taraji that we haven't really seen before. And I agree with her from her like press tour interviews saying that vocally, this is something that we haven't really heard from her before either. Because there's a big difference from what she's doing in this movie than It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp. You know what I mean?
Oscar award winning. It's Hard Out Here
award winning song.
Yeah.
3-6 Mafia. But yeah, there was something about her, even when she was a total mess, she was so kind and warm and inviting to Celie. And, you know, they have that scene, which may or may not have needed to be in the movie, where Celie decides that she's going to go out of town, go to Memphis, I think, with Shug and her husband, and Squeak ends up going too. But like, I just really enjoyed the camaraderie the two of those actresses, Fantasia and Taraji, had with each other on the screen. And I thought that the way that they decided to deal with their like intimate scene was really interesting. Like making it almost this like Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers kind of setting, like musical setting, was really cool and interesting. There are still tons of articles out there about how this movie's not gay enough, though. So, you know,
gayer than the first one. So,
yeah, definitely gayer than the first one. But yeah, I really wanted to highlight her because I thought she was a highlight.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have two more because I feel like we missed a very big one, but I want to highlight the smaller one first. Corey Hawkins, man, like,
oh my god,
Dr. Dre.
Oh my god, I was working. I was like, not these men doing these moves. Let me, you know what?
Corey can dance a little bit. Andy can sing a little bit. I know.
He was getting it. That was probably the best dancing to me.
Those are my two favorite numbers in the whole musical.
Yeah, he was getting it. That song was so catchy. Yes. And it made me think because I think because Working didn't feel as gospel-y as like a lot of the other songs. You could tell like a lot of the other songs are way more gospel based, even if the subject matter wasn't, you know, technically about God, but like the way that they were written and how they were performed felt more gospel-y. I think Working was just so good. It was like the most commercial one to me. I'll have to go back and listen to it again. Like I downloaded the album, of course, after I left the thing. So I'll definitely have to go back and listen to the album again, just to listen to the songs themselves to really like let those penetrate. But I love that number altogether. He did a great job as Harpo. I think he did an amazing job as Harpo. Yes. It was weird that they implied that Sophia beat him first before he beat her. With
that knot on his head? Yeah, it definitely looked like she hit first.
I'm like, y'all, why? What are y'all doing? Like, that was so stupid to me, but... Other than that, I thought he played an amazing Harpo with like still being there, being present, like being there for Sophia, being there for Squeak, like showing the right amount of vulnerability and, you know, the right amount of goofiness. I think he did a great job. And then, of course, Danielle Brooks. I mean,
oh my God.
Danielle Brooks.
Tasty!
As Sophia. Wow. My God. So good. My only qualm wasn't even her fault. It was, you know, the monologue. They broke it in half into a song, which I was listening. Yes. like kind of pissed me off. But you know, after she says, "All of my life I had to fight," and then she starts breaking into song, and they break it down into a song. I'm trying to figure out what the name. Let me see what the name of the song was. But like, I love the song. I love her performance of it. I think she was a fantastic Miss Sophia, and she really like stole the show for me. I think, I think she would be my favorite like guest appearance, which is really like hard to say in such a brilliant cast. Yeah. But
best supporting actress nominee, you think?
Yeah, right. Hell no, hell no. That's yeah. Her, yeah. Her and her sister.
I had to say it.
And And so, like, I thought Danielle Brooks did an amazing job. You know, it was weird seeing her like sitting in the cell, but that part between her and Celie with the interaction with her and herself, that gutted me. I liked her. The fact that they took away, I know it's just a small part, and I know that you can't incorporate everything, but the fact that they took away the dangling carrot or Miss Millie being like, yeah, you can go see your kids for Christmas. And then, you know, the whole taking it back, like, no, and showing like, no, Miss Millie actually like kind of owns you now. That taking away that character moment from her, I really hated, because it felt like we didn't, again, sit in her despair long enough so that once she came out of it, it was more of a bigger thing. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like they really cut those moments, those unfortunate moments. And so when they're happy again, it just doesn't hit as hard. I think that's why when we say Nettie getting kicked out didn't hit as hard, is because we didn't get as much, what felt like as much time with Nettie and Celie to really cement their bonds in order to get how jarring it was when she got kicked out. And just like with Sophia, we didn't get to sit with her long enough in like her predicament after she's released in order for us to realize like she was like really permanently scarred from the experience till when Miss Celie stuck up for herself, then she came out of it. Like, again, all of the qualms I have against the movie are just script stuff. But other than that, I think the acting was fine.
I will say that for me, the best Danielle Brooks moment was when it's the climactic scene where Celie finally decides to stand up for herself.
Yeah,
and Danielle Brooks goes from laughing at what Celie said to Mister's father, or what Suge said to Mister's father, to just sobbing, and then thanking Celie so profusely for being there for her, like, you know, every week for however many years she was in prison. That range to go from like laughing to crying in the span of a second, like on the turn of a dime. That's the type of performance that you nominate for an Academy Award. Like, I know it's not going to happen. And I'm going to be upset about it, as I am every year when awards nominations come out. But I feel like we would be remiss in saying that, in my opinion, Danielle Brooks has the best chance of being nominated for an award during this award season.
I agree.
She was so good. I'm seeing Tasty back on the screen is crazy for me. I'm like, man, she will always be Tasty to me. I don't care. She's a great actress. She's beautiful. Watching her in this role, I was like, dang, y'all really gonna put my girl through this? But you're right. I think that even the character moment of her, you know, kind of snapping out of that deep depression that she was in after the laughter and then crying and then being like, I'm back. Sophia's back now. We shutting it down. We making some changes. I'm like, it's cool to see, because it's Broadway. You know, it's very jazz hands, Sunshine, Ray Bowles, all that stuff. But I think if you get those character moments that Mari was talking about, where her family snatched away from her again because Ms. Nelly can't drive, you know, or, you know, like, she was in jail for 11 years, you know, and she has that limp, you know what I'm saying? She's not her full self anymore. It doesn't feel a little cheap. It felt like, dang, like, and now everything's fine. It's like, no, everything's not fine. Everything is not fine. And we're not just going to leave Sophia here to now tend house for Harpo's family. You know, like, it just, for me, is like, it didn't give me what I needed. But an outstanding, amazing performance from Danielle Brooks. LaTanya, Anjanue Ellis is in here. You know?
Yeah! Anjanue Ellis Taylor. I think she got married recently.
Yeah, congratulations to her. We talked about her on Lovecraft Country, you and I, a couple times.
We did. We did that. That's a thing we went through together.
Yes, it is. But I was happy to see her even here as Aceely's mom, you know, and then so great, great moments from a lot of these characters, a cast that I cannot talk about enough. You know, like we could just go through the cast all over again and just talk about how amazing each of these people were. But I really, they all brought their strengths to the film. We talked about some of the musical numbers. Shout out to Fatima for the choreography. The Suge Is Coming to Town choreography. That's me. I loved it. I loved every second of it. It was crazy. Suge Avery's coming. The women hating. The men are being disgusting. And it was all good. It was all good. Loved it. I think it even told a better story about how Suge got there. I think in the original, The Color Purple, the movie, we're like, so her and Master used to mess around. And then she just ends up living. I mean, Mister used to mess around. And then just living in his house, you know. But here it's like, nah, Suge is coming to town. She just be in and out. She's a whirlwind. Sometimes she show up. She hang out, sometimes she go. But I think that, you know, those numbers really like added a lot of gravity to like, no, this is Suge Avery, you know. Mm-hmm. And we haven't talked about Taraji much, but I mean another person who just, she's Taraji, you know, like this is what she does. She comes on the screen, she steals the show. I think she's great in roles like this, you know. It was like maybe a little bit of Cookie from Empire was seeping into that role as well. Mari Taraji, I think if Danielle Brooks has a good shot at anything, I think Taraji might have equally a good shot just because some of the comedic timing, but also, you know, Suge as a character is something that you just don't see a lot in film, especially Black films.
I agree. I loved her portrayal of Suge. Again, she was let down by some of the plot devices, like having her discover the letters on her first return back, which was, it made the pacing of the movie feel so weird. Like, I don't, I'm trying not to complain about like the plot, but it is like she discovers the letters, Nettie's letters, before Sophia gets in trouble, before, you know, Sophia gets released. Like at one point we have back-to-back title cards, like 1930, Sophia gets in trouble, 1936, she's released, 1945, you know, it's not going well. Like it's like it felt weirdly rushed, weirdly placed linearly in the timeline, because in the original they don't find the letters until she comes back with Grady. And they cut the Grady portion down to just that dinner instead of finding the letters. Like we get nothing from Nettie's letters. Like I kind of understand this part, you know, we get nothing from the Africa trip, Nettie being in Africa. And one of the most egregious things to take away from Taraji, to me, even though we get it later, is not singing Miss Seeley's Blues in Harpo's Juke Joint. Like, what is that? Why? Like, I was like, so no Miss Seeley's Blues? And then by the time it comes after everything's all good, I'm like, huh? Like, this makes no sense. Like, so I think Taraji did an amazing job of very stealing job, but I think that I would still give it to Danielle Brooks for more of the acting portion of it. But I think Taraji is amazing. She has this way of really drawing your eye to her whenever she's on the screen.
Yeah, and Taraji be singing. You know, she's surrounded by some strong vocalists in this one, and you can definitely tell that, like, you know, like Fantasia, Hallie, her. You know, there are some singers here. But Taraji and Danielle Brooks, not bad, not bad at all. I really enjoyed this. LaTanya, what did you think about Taraji?
I think that she was really, really great. Her costumes were just so gorgeous as well. I think that the costume designers did a really good job in differentiating the characters, just in terms of, like, you know, there are obvious like Suge Avery clothes. Mm-hmm. They're more flashy. They're more metropolitan. She travels. And then there are the clothes that like everybody else wears that they mostly make for themselves probably. So I thought that was good. But in terms of her performance, I really thought that she was so great in this role. And moreover, I've just kind of been bowled over by the revelations that have come out of the press tour from her as well. Yeah. And really speaking up for Black, you know, entertainers and what we have to go through in the entertainment industry and how like janky the production was before she said something about it, and ultimately got Oprah to fix it. So I think that she's a force on the screen. I think she's a force off the screen. I'm happy that she fired all of her management after she was in Empire, because Taraji is a household name for us, but she should be a household name for everybody.
Agreed. Yeah, that's a great point too. I think that this reminded me about like a lot of the 90s and early 2000s movies that we watched and grew up with as Black people, where we had our own Black A-list. Like, you know, where it's like, no, we knew if Morris Chestnut, Vivica Fox are on the same screen, that's peak Black. So they might not be the best acting that you ever seen, but that's what we showing up to see. You know what I'm saying? Lawrence Tate, Taye Diggs, you know, like Nia Long, like them are our like our superstars. And so this definitely felt like almost like the Avengers of that. You know, it was a lot of like, a lot of these big names of today are in this film, and they're ushered in by someone who is seasoned, who is, as far as I'm concerned, A-list wherever she goes, Taraji. You know, I think that, you know, this is basically an Oscar, you know, she's been Oscar nominated. She won an Oscar for that 3-6 Mafia song. Taraji don't play, you know, she just doesn't. And I think that we need more actors and actresses like her who will be in the front and the forefront of these films and to speak up, to give space for, you know, newer actors and actresses to speak up for themselves and to have the things that they deserve as well. Because, you know, we know how Black actors and actresses and minorities in general get like the short end of the stick when it comes to this kind of thing in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So I love Taraji in this movie. And I also feel like I get to know Suge a little bit better through Taraji than I did in the original Suge. I think the original Suge is kind of like, like this Suge is like, you get to know her and you get to know her flirtation and even intimacy with Celie a lot better in this movie too. Because there are moments where it's very blatant that they're flirting, you know, like she's basically walking up to Celie in front of everybody in that juke joint and just like hugging her and leaning all over and stuff like that. Very, you know, very clearly a lot of flirting. And then, like you said, the love scene that is like the Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers moment, the black and white musical, kind of like on the record player. I thought all of that was done. Fantasia singing to Taraji while she's in the bathtub.
Yeah.
I thought that was another cool way that they really let those actors and actresses shine.
But think about it. They cut out the like the elongated version of Suge coming to terms with her father. Like in the original, she leads the procession to the song, to the church. And in this one, it was so underwhelming. And yet Taraji still finds a way to like pull through. It's just her and David Allen Greer singing that song. I was so mad. Like I missed that song.
I need that song. I need you guys to see something.
It doesn't make sense I guess they didn't want to repeat the musical themes of the original one, but just to disregard some of the better musical parts in the original was just very frustrating for me. But
musicals the time when they are adapted, they will take music that is from a movie that is not a musical and they will build it into the musical because because the audience is looking for it, number one.
The familiarity,
right. And number two, because it lends more to the story. I think that the majority of the issues that we all have are all script based.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. No. The acting's amazing. The choreography for Fatima, the songs are amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what God is trying to tell you something, I think for that, I think you want like this big explosive vocal performance and maybe you don't think you can get that. Yeah. But maybe you don't think you get that from Taraji. So you give her like a more, you know, muted performance, a more like, you hit a different note. You know, you go into with Taraji and say, okay, this is a tender moment between her and her dad, as opposed to like a procession, you know? Because I think that if you have like Fantasia in that role, you absolutely let Fantasia come and sing the church down. You know, you just do. There's no, you let everybody else shut up and she just goes in there and she does what she does. She kicks off her shoes and all that good stuff. So I think it might've just been a director choice, but again, something that stood out to me is kind of like, dang, I kind of wanted my song, you know? But those were the big issues and big moments, I guess, that stood out for me. And this has been very fun talking to y'all. LaTanya, is there anything else you want to flag up about The Color Purple 2023?
You know, I'm honestly just happy this movie got made.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, yep.
There needs to be, I'm an advocate for more musicals generally in movies, but like Black led musicals, like Black focused musicals, that does not happen in Hollywood very often. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just glad that this movie got made at all, and that it has the star power behind it that it does. Like, this cast, we could go on talking about for another couple hours, you know?
Yeah.
They're just phenomenal. And to put them all together, I think, I mean, you referred earlier to it being like the Avengers, but it's mm-hmm. almost like they didn't storyboard it well enough to make it so the Avengers assembled.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. And Mari, how do you feel? What are your takeaways from this? What do you want to leave people with as we wrap up our coverage of The Color Purple as a whole?
I want to leave people with the fact that I think this was a good movie. I think it was a great musical. I just think that if you're wanting the source material, if you're wanting the same satisfaction that you got from watching the original movie, you're not going to get that. And that to treat it as a completely different movie genre, all of that, because it is, you know what I'm saying? Like, they can be independent of each other. And with me saying that and me looking at it independent from each other, I did enjoy my time at the movies. It's 2.5 hours. I didn't feel like it lagged that much to me. I felt like it was actually going pretty quickly in a sense, because, you know, once you know the story, it kind of feels like it's rushing through it. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very entertaining. Again, everybody put their foot into their roles. So mm-hmm. it's like, you can't be mad at that. So if you're taking away anything, just know I did enjoy it. I did enjoy watching yes. it, the musical. I just have questions, because we always question, and we always stuff that we love. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. if I was indifferent to it, then that would be even worse. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to say, like Latanya said, I'm glad this movie got made. I'm glad that the actors and actresses are getting the recognition that they deserve. I'm glad that we're seeing more Black stories told through musical form. I'm happy about all of that. And to keep it coming, we need to figure out another one. We need to get some more really good brains on another juicier musical. So Black musical. So I love this. It was really good.
Yeah. How about you? Shout out to Marsha Norman for taking this original and flipping it into a Broadway musical production that later leads on to this movie. Alice Walker as well. Yeah. And we haven't talked about the awards that the musical itself, racked up, or at least were nominated for. We talked about how it was a big snub at the Oscars. They got some nominations, but no wins. But the original Broadway production mm-hmm. was nominated for Best Musical, Best Book of a Musical, Best Original Score, Best Actress, which in a musical, Best Featured Actor in a Musical, Best Featured Actress in a Musical, Best Choreography, Best Scenic Design, Best Costume Design, Best Lighting mm-hmm. Design. And then in 2007, nominated for a Grammy for Best Musical Show Album. This is a highly decorated property, and it's now been flipped to the big screen. Whether or not it gets its flowers on the big screen, who knows? But mm-hmm. very excited to talk about it with y'all. It's been a great time. It's been amazing to sit here and watch all these powerful Black actors and actresses and, you know, this Black story told. And hopefully the new generation will watch this and, you know, learn the story of Celie and the story that so many of us have grown up with, because now we have mm-hmm. two versions of it for depending on your taste, right? You can always go back and watch the 85, or you can watch the 2023. But I do suggest that everybody watches it. Highly recommended from me. But y'all, this is a great time. We have a lot going on in our post-show recaps world right now, so we are going to try to keep you all fed with as much content as we can. So coming up soon, I guess Mari and I have been discussing maybe trying to watch some movies lately. Y'all, I recently looked into this, and American Fiction, not shown in my town. Get this Black shit out of here. Yeah,
it's limited release right now.
Yeah, I don't know if it's regional or what, but mm-hmm. I really wanted to watch it, and now I feel like I'm gonna be kind of trying to find a bootleg. So if you in the comments,
I can help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, allegedly, you know, yeah. that, you know what I'm saying? But it's so fascinating to me that a movie that big, or that I thought was going to be so huge, is a limited release. Mar, you already knew this though.
Yeah, I did. I did. I know it was limited release back in December. And then it won something at the Toronto, the TIFF Awards, I believe. Yeah, which normally is like fast track to Academy Awards, but for some reason it's limited release. It might, I'm trying to see, I think it might have a bigger release later. So it's just, yeah.
They've also released it at a weird time for awards consideration.
They did, yeah.
Yeah, I would like to see it. So, I mean, that was going to be one of our goals. But like I said, I might have to leave town to go get a good view of that. Also, another thing that we've batted around was the idea of talking about the Book of Clarence, which is currently in theaters as well. Mm-hmm. Mari, is there anything else that you see on the horizon coming out?
There's another one. But it's not coming out until March.
It's not that magical black folk movie, is it? The
Negroes? Oh, no, not that one.
Okay. Surely. Negroes and magic.
The American Society of Magical Negroes.
That's what I said. I mean,
yeah. They played the trailer for that at Color Purple, and I was like,
we're going to bring it to you here at the Connect. Yeah. Oh,
we'll watch it. I don't know if we'll talk about it. But
yeah, but Shirley starring Regina King is coming out in March.
Yes. Oh, right. Coming to Netflix soon. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we got some stuff coming, down the horizon. But this has been fun. Let's make sure
you subscribe to the Connect so you can know whenever we're posting. Again, we will bring you another movie review next week. We just don't know if it'll be American Fiction or maybe Book of Clarence.
Yeah. Right now it's looking like American Fiction. We might not. We'll figure that one out, but we will be back shortly. Email us at the Connect or Post Show Recaps, right? Is it the Connect at postshowrecaps.com? What is the email address, y'all?
Connect at postshowrecaps.com.
Connect at postshowrecaps.com and let us know what you want to hear us talk about. Send us any bootlegs that you might have or the movies that you want us to talk about too. And then let us know what you think about the podcast. Feel free to use your YouTube reviews on our Connect playlist on the Post Show Recaps YouTube page. Leave us any 5-star reviews wherever you get your podcast, Spotify or Apple. Regardless, we'll see it. And in the meantime, LaTanya, tell us what you got going on. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me talking about the finale of season 5 of Fargo with Mike Bloom and with Grace Leader coming up very soon. You can also find me back on my Versus BS, this time with Mike Bloom, though. So it's going to be a whole new show, same old concept. We're doing True Detective season 1 versus the newest season, True Detective season 4, Night Country. And we're going to see how much copaganda there's going to be involved in that show. It's one of the categories that we have that we're going to do a matchup. So that should be fun. Please follow me on Twitter at LK Starks for any other things that I may have forgotten. Or you can follow me on Instagram at Stormborn1222.
All right. And Mari, you got a lot going on because I heard the Wrestling Rehab Up is back, baby.
Yes, the Wrestling Rehab Up is back. Me and Matt Scott discuss the highlights of the week in wrestling over on Rob Has a Podcast. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed in order to subscribe to us there. We got an amazing guest on, Grace, and we talked about, the highlights of the week. But coming up, it's going to be a great season because me and Matt were on the road to WrestleMania. We will physically be at WrestleMania 40 this year. So we're trying to make this season the biggest one ever. We have loads of collabs coming with other podcasts, big guests, both from the wrestling content space and from the Survivor space for all of our Survivor friends out there. So definitely come check us out. It's our biggest season yet. Also, every Tuesday, me and Sarah Carradine bringing you True Crime Tuesdays to RHAP. And we're right smack dab in the middle of a Chappelle double showing here because he was with us on Hell Camp. We talked about Hell Camp, a documentary on Netflix following the troubled teen industry. And coming up, we will be talking to Chappelle and the Big Boss Man, Rob Cesternino, about The Society of Snow, a dramatic movie following the Uruguayan rugby team's airplane crash into the Andes. So crime scene, if you want more Chappelle, he's over there with us. So go to website.com/crimefeed in order to subscribe to Crime Scene. There you can, of course, subscribe to Crime Scene and Wrestling Rehab wherever you get your podcasts. So that's it. Follow me on Twitter so you know what I'm up to. So you can go to Mari. Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. Find me over there on Twitter.
And you can follow me on Twitter as well at Chappelle's_show. I'll tweet out all the links to the podcast that I'm doing, including we have wrapped up our daily Suits coverage on post-show recaps at suitspodcast.com. We've covered every episode of Suits, and now we're talking about Pearson. And so we're going to do a little Pearson spinoff. So if you caught Suits and haven't caught Pearson, catch up to that and still subscribe to suitspodcast.com. Go on there, leave us some 5-star reviews, join the Facebook community. We're having a great time over there. I think we got an interview with the creator coming soon, you know, you're gonna hear it here, but check that out because it's going to be a good time as well. Still nothing but Netflix is happening. These next couple weeks will be dedicated to The Trust, a tale of greed or whatever it's called, but it is a game of greed, and it is on Netflix, and they're dropping the episodes in batches. So we did our first batch recap last week live on YouTube, so you can check us out on the YouTube page on robhazardwebsite.com and go to the Netflix page for there for the YouTube video, or you can just go to YouTube, subscribe to RHAP on YouTube, or you of course subscribe to Nothing But Netflix wherever you get your podcast. You know, I think a little bit further along the lines, Abbott Elementary will be back, and so hopefully I'll be talking about that too, and you should be able to see that possibly on the Connect. We shall see. But until then, for LK Starks, for Mari Talks Too Much, and for @Chappelle's_show, I want to thank you all for being here for our The Color Purple 2023 review. And be sure to come back next week to see what we have in store for you next on The Connect. Until next time, talk to you later. Peace. Bye.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.